Welcome to Forward, a podcast by EasyCare, where we protect what moves you with your host, Corey Smith. The views and opinions expressed by guests in this podcast may not be those of the host or EasyCare and Avco Holdings Brands.
Welcome to Forward. I'm your host, Corey Smith, National Fixed Operations Training Director with EasyCare. With me today is my new co-host, Eric Howdige. Eric, welcome to Forward.
Thank you very much, Corey. Excited as always to be on. We have an awesome, awesome guest, and we are ready to go.
Yes. So let's welcome in our guest, Ron Overs from Fixed Ops Magazine. Ron, welcome to Forward.
Well, hey, listen, thank you. This is a great opportunity to get with you folks. Corey, you and I got a good start years ago, and it's just fun to be working together.
Yes, you can say you were the one that started it all, right?
You got it going for you guys out there. It was a lot of fun. It sure was.
So this episode is titled Mastering the Ops with Ron Overs, Fixed Operations Excellence and Sales Synergy. Ron, this is right in your wheelhouse. But before we get started, tell our audience a little bit about you and what do you do for work?
That's a great question. And I ask it myself that a lot of times. I am the publisher of Fixed Ops Magazine. And what Fixed Ops Magazine is a 20-year-old publication, 20 years this year, that's dedicated towards helping service departments and dealers do a better job in their fixed operations. So service, parts, body shop, anything to do with anything that's not variable, that's not the front end of the store. And it's a great, great opportunity for me to really get to know great people around the country, like yourselves, to really find out what's going on in the marketplace and then share that with everyone else so that everyone can learn from each other and grow their business. We have 38,000 subscribers. Magazine goes out to 16,689 dealerships. And so if you want your message out to the world, we're a good place to put your notes.
just a little bit of notes out there. That's an exact number of dealerships. That's awesome.
Sure. Yeah. So it's great. It really is. And we work really hard to make sure that every fixed ops director, every service manager has an opportunity to get our magazine and learn from the best. You know, they're not learning from Ron Overs. They're learning from, you know, people who are in the field every day, actually working this process and trying to become the best at what they do.
Yeah.
That's amazing. First of all, congratulations on two decades, 20 years of providing just incredible information. And I'll tell you why this is so exciting for me. Over my career, I remember receiving those magazines, right? We go into stores all across the country and I see it and it's so exciting to read it, learn it, look at everybody's information. If you really read these magazines page by page and you take notes, it's almost impossible for you not to grow as a leader, number one. Number two, I'm sitting here with Ron Overs being able to talk fixed operations. So for this guy, super exciting. It's a big honor. But I have a question for you, Ron. Yeah. As the publisher of Fixed Ops Magazine, what trends or innovations have you observed that are reshaping the fixed operations landscape?
It's a great question. And, you know, if we were talking 2024, it's far different than 2025. This is the year of AI. I think if you saw the cover of our last issue of the magazine, you know, you'll see that everything is talking about fixed operations and the influence AI has on that. Now you hear AI everywhere, right? It's on you. You can't open a Word document and it's telling you, hey, let me tell you how to rewrite this better. It's everywhere. But the intuitiveness of AI with the BDC departments, with the service departments, with the parts department, it's like having a really smart buddy, you know, on your staff who can look things up and really help you do things maybe better, faster than you alone could do. So not as a replacement for people, but for an enhancement for people. Everyone has their own now private, you know, executive assistant sitting next to them who can help them do a better job of ordering parts and anticipating needs. It can help you do things like, you know, simple stuff at BDC department. So that you're talking to a customer and all of a sudden you find out when their last visit was and when their next visit is anticipated to be and how many miles they have driven. And does that mean that they're going to need tires? And the telematics data comes in and gives them more information. So there's all kinds of incredible synergies going on today with AI. It's really come to the forefront of of the fixed operations world.
And I'm glad you say that, because I've hired three assistants that go with me everywhere I go. And I didn't realize that at first. I was, I don't want to use the word fearful, but I was cautious as I was going into AI, because it could be intimidating. And when I was looking into it, I decided to go in. So I have three assistants that I carry with me everywhere. Number one is Siri. Number two, ChatGPT. And now I've hired Meta. Right. And I tell them to do things. They do them for me. They set it up. They put it in my calendar. They look up information. And it makes my life so simple. And instead of thinking they're going to take over, no, you hire them and they make you better. So I love the way you laid that out.
Before AI, Ron, I hired EJ. He was my executive assistant.
Yes.
No, AI is great. And I think you're absolutely right, Ron. It is. It's being more talked about. It's being implemented into dealerships. We use it quite a bit in our work. I absolutely am embracing it. I love it. Just to get a different perspective on how it talks and how it can come up with certain ways that we can do things. It's just amazing. How can service departments improve their customer experience to stand out in a competitive market?
You know, again, another great question. You know, the truth of the matter is our world, and the customer experience component of it has really changed, right? I mean, we all talk about how Amazon has changed everything, right? You call up and you order something, and if it's not here tomorrow morning at 8:30, you're like, well, what's the holdup? You know, I need that. Okay, that's what I expect. And so now when you call in for a routine maintenance on your car and they tell you it'll be 2 weeks from Thursday, the customer says, no, I was thinking tomorrow. Is tomorrow good? I'm hoping to have your car in tomorrow. Yeah. And it really does change the way the perspective first of the customer's perspective on what is acceptable has changed dramatically in the last few years. So secondly, you have to change as a service department. You have to be able to respond to that. And, you know, part of that is just building in queue time for those exceptions. You know, 80% of your business goes along just fine. But that 20% that's asking for something special, well, darn it, give them something special. Okay, it's not that big a deal. Don't try to force them to comply. You comply to their request. That's how you keep customers from defecting. That's how you keep people, within your ranks, within your store, and make things happen. So it really has changed the whole perspective on the customer experience. And you can use it for everything from, call it text messaging or SMS, where you're actually sending messages to the customer and actually integrating with them and saying, hey, letting them know how you're doing on their car, when it's going to be ready, what we found, what opportunities to make your car safer, and having all of those things show up for you, right on their phone while the car is being serviced.
Yeah. I mean, Eric and I talk about it all the time in our classes, is that what can you do to stand out and give that customer a good experience? One of the books that we talk about all the time is Unreasonable Hospitality, right?
Yeah.
If that customer feels good when they left, they're going to want to come back. And when they try going someplace else and they don't get that same feeling, they want to come back, right? So if you can retain that customer, and that's been a hot topic for over a decade, I feel, that customer, and do something as small as 5% to retain them, the dealership can make 25 to 95% more in profit, right? So the key is really figuring out how to get that competitive edge. And I think some of it is what you're probably getting to, is boiling down to your core values. What do you want to be as a business, and what are you going to do to wow that customer? And it's going to be different for every customer, right? It's not going to be the same. And I think COVID had a lot to do with it as well. What are the key characteristics of a dealership, speaking of dealerships, that consistently excel in their fixed operations performance that you've seen?
And you hit the word culture. They've got a culture built into their business that says, we care about the customer. Yeah, we care about profit. Yeah, we care about how many items are on the RO. Yes, we care about selling every hour that we have available in the shop, to sell. All of those things are important, but if we're not taking care of our customers, the rest of that is just all going to go away. So having that culture that says, let's make it work, but let's make a profit doing it. But let's be very clear that if we don't take care of the customer, he's going to go away. And not only does he go away, he pulls 10 people with him that could be potential future customers. You really need to really focus on taking care of each and every situation and treating those customers like it was a relative. Would you sell your relative that product? Would you tell your relative that was a good service to have done on the car? That yes, that's a fair price on the tires. Yes, that's a fair, a fair price for that repair. And if you do that, that's going to keep customers coming back to your store.
That's such a great answer on being able to take care of people like people. And when you're able to do that and care for somebody and it's genuine, I talk about this all the time. Corey and I have had multiple conversations. When you're speaking to somebody, not working with somebody, but when you're speaking to somebody, there is something that we sense that we understand if it's genuine. And that's big in customer service, which leads me right into my question. How can service advisors be better trained to effectively communicate the value of maintenance, repairs to the customers?
The question is great because it really goes to what is a service advisor or someone in service really doing? And that is they're communicating with your customer. They are the critical link between a customer's experience at your store. And so they have to figure out that, get your eyes out of the monitor, look at the customer, listen to the customer, repeat what the customer said to make sure you have agreement that you totally understand what they're saying. And then offer them suggestions to better enhance, this visit and their car experience. Many times you just see their focus is on themselves and making sure they get the right op on the screen and they get all, forget all that. Okay, put all that aside. You're going to have plenty of time to do that once the customer is out of your face. But when the customer is there, put everything down, turn your shoulders to face the customer. Turn your eyes on their eyes. Pick one eye, not two. You'll look like you're shifting back and forth. Okay? And just talk in a normal tone. It's consultative communication. It's just talking to them like there's somebody you care about, not like, they're a prize. You're going to ring a bell when they leave because you got them for, six things on their RO.
I think most advisors are trying to multitask to the ninth degree all the time. Yeah. And there has to be that human connection. And if it's a repeat customer, I'm sure you can get away with a lot of this stuff, right? But one of the things that I did, and I don't know if you did it too, Eric, is that I would give eye contact and type at the same time. And that took a while to master that for me. And we talk about this a lot in our training classes is we ask advisors, okay, what is a service advisor? What is a service advisor? And they'll come up with, I'm supposed to be there to sell stuff to customers. I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to give them this. And you hit it right on the head, Ron. You're a liaison between the technician and the customer. You're there to take technical jargon and make it into layman's terms. You're the other part of it. There's not really a wrong answer, but the other part of it has to blossom from that, which is giving them a great experience, making them feel like they're the only one that you're dealing with at that time, right? Not worrying about the 50 carryovers that you got to worry about, back order parts and four waiters on your desk and three customers that you're waiting on that are waiting for you to wait on them, right? What role does content and continuous education play in helping fixed ops professionals stay ahead of industry changes? And how does Fixed Ops Magazine contribute to this?
I think what we do is we try to focus on the positive all the time. As you know, if you're in that world, right, where you've got just issues on your desk all day long, and you're just, especially if you're a service manager, anyone, what are you dealing with today? Somebody just backed into that car over there. That part didn't show up like we promised that it would. You've got all of these problems. And so your focus is on, unfortunately, you're a fireman, right? You're putting out all these fires, you're doing all of these things, and you need something that's going to, a place to go where you can go and get recharged with a positive outlook on how things go. And we really focus on the 10 articles in every issue that they have a focus that's positive. Here's an issue. Here's a solution. And this is how, you know, this is how the best of the best take care of that problem. And when you focus like that, you know, it's refreshing to read an article of ours. It doesn't say, you know what, your technicians are terrible, your service advisors, you hired the wrong people, you know, like, well, you know what? You hired them. Those are your people. You need to encourage them. You need to build them up. This is your team, okay? As good or bad as they are, they can be 10% better tomorrow. Let's figure out how to get there. And, yeah. You know, the magazine moves in that direction to make sure that here's a problem, here's a solution. Let's take this together and come up with a way that to make it better for you.
I love your perspective on that because, and I've been having the magazine sent to my house and to dealerships that I worked at for decades, yeah. Right? And the one thing I didn't know that I want to make sure that we share with everybody is that you don't have writers on your staff. You're getting this from what you said earlier, people in the trenches. Like I've been blessed enough to write a few articles for that magazine and I had no idea that you could, right? So if you're out there and you're like, man, I got this thing that I've been working on and I finally mastered it, reach out to Ron and say, hey, I've got this article. What can I do to get there? And he will walk you through how to do it. It's almost like you're giving back to a community that you don't really feel, see, or hang out with, right? And that's what I think the FixOps magazine does in that. And Ron, we're going to shift gears here and we're going to go into our sales question for you. Eric, what do you got for him?
Well, and you said that right. You know, it's when we're switching gears, many people think that when you're switching gears, you're in a totally different type of, let's call it what it is, transmission. You're still in the same transmission. And many times the sales and the service department are looked at as two completely stores, right? And we're really all in the same team. And it, with your experience that you have and all the knowledge that you're able to take in from everybody, what strategies can sales teams adopt to collaborate at a higher level with service departments to drive the overall dealership success?
I think the first thing is don't go for perfection, go for improvement. So the idea is it's like, you know, we're doing this wrong. We need to change everything. You don't have to change everything. You need to change something. You need to create momentum in the positive direction. The first thing in any change focus, really, rather than trying to go for the home run, go for 3 yards, okay, because three and three and three, you know what, you got a first down, okay, and you're still moving the ball forward. So you really want to work towards doing something that's going to move you ahead, not something that's going to radically change it and really upset a lot of people. And that's the number one thing. As far as sales and the, you know, the front of the store sales and things working with the service department, I think we just need to get those people in the sales and F&I and all those places back to service, meet the people, understand the processes, understand the systems, and understand better how integral it is to the customer's confidence and success in the story. I read an article the other day about someone who bought, you know, an e-car from, you know, from a domestic person versus buying, you know, a Tesla vehicle, because the bottom line is because it was a dealer they could go to. They, if they had a problem, they didn't feel like they were on an island. They felt like, boy, I can go back to that Ford dealer in this case. And, you know, and I'm going to feel confident doing that. Well, the people in the, you know, sales people, sales managers, F&I managers, they have to understand that by going back and seeing, hey, here's a car you sold. Look what we're doing for this customer. You know, yeah. You know, we're enhancing their experience of ownership because, you know, something's come up. It can just be a factory recall. It can be a whatever. It needs to be addressed. And we're the team that's going to keep the customer happy so they come back and see you again, want to buy another car.
Yeah, those silos have always been there ever since the dealership was built, right?
Yeah.
Sales versus service and service versus parts and so forth and so on. Eric, I'm sure you dealt with it in your time.
All the time. Absolutely.
Eric and I are starting to see a trend where ex-salespeople are now being pushed into service and being service advisors, right? We saw that in our huge class that we had, right?
Yes. I just had, as a matter of fact, in our last week class that I had, or two different stores, yeah. There was a service advisor One came from sales. The other one came from the finance department. And we're starting to see those transitions happen more and more.
I think that's going to help with that silo. Am I wrong in thinking that?
No, I think that's a perfectly good thing. Now, think about that, right? You're up front. You're a mediocre or maybe even better than average, right? The average new car salesman sells, what, 8 cars, 10 cars is a good one, okay, a month. There's a 20 guys out there, but there's a whole lot of them doing 8, okay? Now you're going to walk back to service and you're going to see 12 customers a day, okay? And you have 12 opportunities a day to sell somebody something and make it work. That's pretty exciting. Okay. There's a whole rich environment that you didn't have up front where you were getting an up and scared to death that if you blew this up, you know, there you go. Now you're going to be down 2 more sales this month. And you really need to just look at it that way and say, wow, you know, here's this new dealership that sells 100 new cars, you know. Oh, by the way, in service, they had 100 people come through service today. This day, not this month.
Yeah, right.
You're
100% right. What impact do you see fixed operations having on vehicle sales, particularly in building customer loyalty?
It's so important. And the customer loyalty really is all about making sure their whole car experience is great. And you see this now with the mobile services and all the other things that they're doing. But communicating in sales, this is part of your purchase experience here. It's not just today where we shake your hand and we hand you a new payment book, you know, the old days. You know, the reality is this is an ongoing experience that we're going to have for the next 3, 4, 5 years with this particular vehicle. And we want to make sure it's great. And part of it's going to be us taking care of you in service and make sure that you really understand how important that is. And, you know, I think fixed ops is a huge part. If you want a customer to come back, you have to make sure you're taking care of them. And, you know, so it's critical today. You know, you sell them once up front, you sell them a second and third time in service, right? Is that what the storyline is, right?
Yeah, it is. And I think it's truer now than it was before, because now customers have so many different options.
And I'm going to talk about something that we do in training. And I'm glad you say it that way, because we have, Corey and I have begun reshaping the way you do some of the processes in the store, because taking care of that relationship long-term is crucial to our business in the future. And we've changed the walk around. There's many processes out there. You know, there is a 10-step process, and there is the go do dent check and tire check, and which is, it's not that it's not important. Those are very valuable, but the base of it, the core, the foundation of walk around has to deal with trust. Mm-hmm. And we have now began retraining advisors not to remove that and exchange it, but to add something first. And we have a 3 checkpoint walk around process. And what we do in these 3 checkpoints with advisors is we have them learn 3 things. The first one in their first checkpoint, and that's right at the left rear part of the bumper. You can't get past that checkpoint unless you know something about the customer outside of the vehicle.
Yeah.
And we'd say, do not use bumper stickers. We say, do not use little things and gadgets, because what ends up happening is the customer reads that and they go, this isn't genuine. You have to be able to want to help people, learn about people. And those conversation builders make the advisor more confident, but it builds a higher level of trust with the customer. The second checkpoint that we go to is to the right rear bumper. And there, before you get past that, you have to understand how long is that customer going to be keeping this vehicle. That is important for the entire process, for the advisor, for the presentation, and for the customer, because now you can have a different approach to the customer when you're presenting them with a multi-point inspection. And then the last thing is the right front headlamp. You can't get past that checkpoint unless you know the customer's schedule for the day. It's important because the customer will give you a key and say, keep it all day, right? But I ask people, what's your end of the day? Give me your time. And as we go around the room and we talk about it, we all have a different end of the day. So knowing something about the customer outside of the vehicle, make the person important, not the car. Number 2, let's find out how long they're going to keep the vehicle so we could respect and we can talk about their investment at the same level they are. And then number 3, we also talk about what's their schedule for the day, because what's important to you is important to me.
Yeah, I love that philosophy, and I think it goes right with what Ron is talking about with building customer loyalty. When you're asking that question, you know, how long you plan on keeping the vehicle? If they say, I'm usually like a two-year kind of guy or three-year kind of person, right? That should indicate to that service advisor, ooh, it's almost on his three-year anniversary. I can introduce him to sales. And that's the talking point where I can say, hey, would you like me to introduce you to Ron in our sales department? Yeah.
So with that being said, the question that I have for you is, how should dealerships balance their investment in fixed operations versus sales to create a long-term and sustainable business model?
Dealers, you know, first they invested in the building itself, right? So, you know, I always look at it and say, you know, someone will say, you know, Hondas are built great. And I go, I don't know. Drive by a Honda dealer. It's 20% showroom, 80% service. So why did they build it like that? It's because every one of them they build is going to need to come back for service. And the dealer starts off by investing a great amount of money in the actual facility itself. But, you know, where it's been lacking in the past is actually in communicating or advertising and getting outside of that to keep customers coming back. Now, with all the new tools that we have available, you know, to follow the customer, you know, after purchase, you know, we need to invest in those to make sure that the customers really feel special. They feel part of it. You know, thank you for buying at our store. You're now part of our family. We have an event on Saturday. We're doing all these kind of things. Bring people back to the store, make them feel important. And service is the focal point for that. Because you can bring them back and say, hey, we'll do a free upgrade on your, you know, what, your operating system on your car. Or we'll do a free tire check, or we'll do some, you know, something. Just give them some reason to come back. But it's important that dealerships really see the value that service is the glue to keep the customer in the store, and the store dealerships need to invest in service to make that happen.
Got it. And, you know, one of the things that I talk about with service departments when it goes from sales to service, and they ask about, well, how's the transition? I tell them, when the customer's purchasing the vehicle, they're looking at the outside of your store. It's the landscape. It's the brickwork. Not that it's not important, right? Because you have to make sure your roof and your windows are protected. I said, but the fixed ops department is the inside of your home. That's where the customer decides how long they decide to stay. Do you make them comfortable? And do they want to come back? So when we're talking about this, I'm huge in this type of communication with training. What role does storytelling play in helping dealerships showcase the value of their services and products to customers?
I think storytelling has always been an incredible training tool. I mean, you can go back to biblical times, right? And you read, and it's a story that, number one, it entertains, bring them in, and then it says, oh, now there's a point to my story. You know, that same principle plays true in what you're working on. You know, sometimes when you're trying to communicate to someone in training, it's difficult because you're trying to talk to them about something technical, or maybe something they don't really buy into because they're looking at it from their perspective. And they're like, I don't believe in those transmission flushes. Pick a thing. Okay. And then you just show them, tell them a story. And that story says, hey, I want to just share something that happened in my life that I thought was kind of neat. And you share that story and you say, and you see, I didn't think that was a good idea. But what I learned over time was that is something really important for a person in this situation. And now using that storytelling will pull them in and keep that person in training attached to you so that you can actually share the information you want. If I just told you, hey, you know what, I need you to do this, and this is what happens, is they immediately put up roadblocks and they don't really hear what you're saying. They're saying, I hear you enough to know that I'd have to answer that on a quiz, but I'm not going to do it. Okay. And by storytelling it, you remove that obstacle. You get the principle brought across, and then you come back with the correlation to what you really want to get told.
I love storytelling, Ron, and you're the perfect person to ask that question because of what you do for a living, right?
Yeah.
What advice would you give to dealerships that are listening right now, looking to improve their marketing strategy for both sales and fixed ops?
I think is sell the experience of the car, not just the car. And I think you'll see that more and more today, right? The dealership selling a Ford Bronco, and they're showing it on the beach, you know, having a tailgate party, you know, with pretty people and surfboards and, you know, sharing the idea that this could be you, you know, kind of thing. And so really sharing not just the car, but the whole experience of ownership. If it's a new e-car, right? If it's a new electric vehicle, right? You're saying, you know what? I want you to smell your hands. Okay. They're never going to smell like gasoline again. Okay. This is a really cool thing. All right. You're never going to know what 93 high octane costs. You don't care. And you don't care what it smells like anymore. I mean, it really is cool. And, you know, you're going to find out some, you know, some amazing things about owning an e-car and, you know, sharing the experience, not just the, you know, this is how you set the radio, okay? But sharing what's really, really, what people love about their vehicle, you know? If you ask my wife what she likes about her electric car, it's quiet. Yeah. Makes no noise. It doesn't shift. I don't have to stop at the gas station anymore. I fill it up with gas, electricity, at night when I'm sleeping. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's like, how cool is this, right? You know, you get on the highway and you push one button and it stays in the lane and stays at the right speed, you know? So if I am, you know, yapping on the phone, at least the car's looking out for me, you know? So the reality is it's sell the experience of the car, not just the nuts and bolts.
I absolutely love that answer. And I'm going to take that with me, Bron. So that the way you set that up is just great. Smell your hands, right? Doesn't smell like fuel. That's so cool. But Bron, we are right up against the time, and let's move right into the lightning round.
All right.
What are three takeaways in your mind anyone listening can take and put into action?
I think number one is put the customer first. Listen carefully to what the customer says and put his expectations on you as things that you need to do to help them make this experience great. Don't try to force your agenda on them. And number one. And number two is, you know, stop thinking about yourself. Start thinking about the dealership or the place that you work. So many people are, you know, I got this job and I want to know how much PTO time I have. Okay, really, I don't even know what that is, okay, in a small business, but I understand it's something. All right, so the reality is stop thinking about you, start thinking about how can I be exceptional in this situation and make it happen. And number three is, how can I enhance the people around me? How can I make everyone else's life better? Can I hear someone who's having trouble and can I help them become better at what they do? You know, maybe you can share a story with them. Will help them overcome a frustration they're coming in. But I think that's three things that I would really take away.
Now I want to ask something that it took me a lot of work to get to. And people sometimes, you are, when you're speaking to somebody or you want to communicate with Ron Overs, it was such a big deal to me. But if somebody wants to get in touch with you, how can people get in touch with you?
First, I'm very reachable because I want to know what you know, okay? I'm a sponge. I absolutely just want to suck up all the great ideas that are out there and then publish them for everybody else. So I love to have that. So you can just reach me at Ron, simple R-O-N, at fixedopsmag.com and send me an email and say, hey, Ron, what's up? I need to get some information. Or I want to get subscribed to your magazine that, oh, by the way, this expensive looking magazine is free, okay, to anyone in fixed operation. So you really just, you know, you can go online to fixedopsmag.com and sign up, but you can get a hold of me easily by sending me an email or by contacting me. I'm happy to jump in and try to get things going for you.
That's awesome. Thanks, Ron. EasyCare is a total performance provider working alongside your team to help achieve your goals in F&I and across the dealership. We are an award-winning provider and administrator of F&I products and can provide the tools, knowledge, and training needed to unlock the potential of your dealership. For more information on EasyCare or to be a guest on Forward, please feel free to send me an email at csmith@apcoholdings.com. Ron, that is all the time that we have for today. Thank you so much for being a part of this episode. And I'll ask this last question, like I ask every guest, will you please come back?
Boy, this has been a fun time, Corey, and of course I will. I would love to be with you guys. This has been a great time together. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you for listening to Forward, a podcast brought to you by EasyCare with Corey Smith. Be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast. New episodes are released on the 5th and 20th of every month.